Have you ever had someone say something to you that was important, but in the moment you missed the significance of it? In other words, you now look back and you realize, wow, they were saying something. They spoke something into my heart. They spoke something to my heart I didn't even realize. And oftentimes it's days or weeks or sometimes months later before you realize the significance of what they said. In fact, I think both the Spirit and the Word of God are like that also. I think the Spirit and the Word of God are like that as well. In other words, have you ever read a scripture and you knew it was significant, but the significance of it did not hit you until sometime later? And then it just explodes in your heart. It explodes in your life because it's relevant for the time, for the occasion, and for the season. I think that that is at least in part what Jesus meant when he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I think in part he meant, I'm going to plant a seed in you. I'm going to plant something into your life. I'm going to plant something inside of you. And one day when you need it most, it'll explode in your heart. One day when you need it most, it'll explode inside of you. That is the case with this morning's message that I want to share with you. Rather than the series, the emphasis that we have been in, which is every member a minister, this morning, this message over the last 3 or 4 weeks has just been exploding inside of me. And next week, we will return to the emphasis about every member a minister. But this morning, I want to talk to you something significant. A pastor friend of mine, a man who was my pastor, said something to me about the story that we are going to talk about and about the verse that we're going to share with you in just a moment. Years ago, I mean years and years, decades ago, in fact, and I did not, the significance of it has just really begun to erupt in me, and I want to share that. In fact, I think this is the message for you this morning. This is the message for me this morning, and so I want to share it. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, in fact, if you can do this, we are going to be in Daniel chapter 3. So if you'll open your Bibles and put your hand in Daniel chapter 3, we're going to be there in just a moment. I want to talk about that story, but I want us to read from 1 Corinthians 13, and I want to read this now and then pray because I don't want to have to go back and read it in a moment. I want to be able to share it when we get to that point, when we get to that stage. So Daniel chapter 3, put your hand there and then flip over to, that's in the Old Testament, about midway the Old Testament, a little to the right of midway the Old Testament, and then turn to Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Corinthians, the 13th chapter, is a very familiar verse, a very familiar passage, and I want us to read verse 13. In fact, I want to back up and read a little bit more than that. I want to start reading at verse 8. Love suffers long as is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Then verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Lay your hands on your Bible and pray with me. Holy Spirit, we come to you right now, and what we are asking, what we are saying is we need a word from you. It is not enough to have a sermon prepared on paper. It is not enough, Lord, for us to have a message. We need a word from you. We need you to speak into our hearts and speak into our lives. I have no doubt, Holy Spirit, that there are individuals that are here this morning that you have designed like an arrow from heaven. You have designed what is going to be said over the next 30 to 40 minutes. You've designed it to pierce exactly in their heart, to go exactly to their need, to minister exactly in their life, to precisely do what you want it to do. And so, Holy Spirit, we open ourselves up and we ask you to do what you've intended to do. Jesus, you said the Holy Spirit was our teacher and our guide. Guide us in your word today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. It was a crime worthy of capital punishment. What they had done was heinous. It was unheard of in the time and the season that they were living. nobody dared do what they had done. And because of their action or because of their inaction, whichever the case may be, they were guilty of a capital punishment crime. Their lives could be taken with one wave of the hand of the king, with one word from the king, with one motion of the king, their lives would be placed in the throes of the executioner, and they could be executed. It was a capital punishment crime. You see, in the days of Babylon, nobody refused the king. Nobody refused the king. In the days of Babylon, nobody went against his word. Nobody went against his decree. Nobody dared to violate the decree of the king. And in this case, it was especially heinous because in this case, it was public. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar had made certain that it would be public. Ron, he went out in the middle of a field and he built a 90-foot statue of himself. That's somewhere between 9 and 10 stories tall, somewhere close to 9 or 10 feet wide. Now think about that. You talk about a monument to yourself. That's a monument to yourself, right? Just for reference, the hospital downtown is 6 stories tall. This monument was 4 stories, nearly twice as tall as the hospital downtown. 10 foot wide, 90 feet high, which was roughly 9 stories or so high. He had built this monument to himself. And then he said, when the music plays, you dance. Right? I mean, it's basically what he said. When the music plays, you dance. And you dance my tune. You dance my song. You dance praises to me. And their dance was actually a bow, but it was basically a dance. It was, here is my statue. Here is who I am. I'm the great King Nebuchadnezzar. And when the music plays, you dance. 3 Hebrew children understood and they knew. There was no confusion. Just so we're clear on this. There was no confusion, Margaret, in them about what they had been commanded to do and what was expected. They weren't confused at all. It was not by accident that they didn't bow. It wasn't because they had not heard. It wasn't because they had not discerned what was going on. They knew exactly what was commanded. They knew exactly when they were to bow. And they knew there was no way they could bow before this image. The music begins. Crowds. We are told that everybody important was there. I mean, this was the party of the season. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, everybody was there. All of the governors, all of the rulers, everybody who could be there was there. There's some debate. It's very likely Daniel was not there. He most likely was away at King's court. But everybody else, they were there. They were in that place. And this was the party to be at. And if you weren't there, you weren't anybody. And so everybody was there and everybody was watching and everybody was, and nobody had any thoughts that somebody would not bow. In other words, that was not in anybody's thought. They weren't looking around to see who would bow and who would not bow. But when the music started, everybody danced the tune of Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody bowed before Nebuchadnezzar, except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their Babylonian names, except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not bow, and somebody near them saw that they did not bow. Isn't that always the case? I mean, whether you're doing good or whether you're doing evil, isn't it always the case? You know, don't you, that nothing you do is in the dark. I mean, it may be in the dark, but it's not in the dark. Just because it's in the dark doesn't mean it's not seen. I mean, somebody sees everything, right? And so they were there, and they did not bow, and so these men ran to the king. Don't you just love a tattletale? These men ran to the king and they said, "Oh, king." Now, in fact, I love the way that they put this. They said, "Oh, king." They basically said, "King, we are coming here for your favor. We are coming here because your name has been defamed. We're coming here because somebody has violated your decree." In other words, king, the only reason we're here is your name. When in fact, the real reason they were there is they were jealous. Come on now. The real reason they were there is because they wanted the position that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been given. That was the real reason they were. But anyway, they came and they said to him, "King, we just want you to know. I know you can't believe this. I know, O king, that there's no way you can believe that somebody would actually not bow before your image, O great king. But somebody is not bowing. Do you remember the 3 Hebrews the boys that you brought in? And you remember you promoted them over us? right? You promoted them over us. Can you believe they are not bowing? Can you believe they are not bowing before you? And the word says, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 3, if you want to open your Bibles there, we'll be there in just a moment. In Daniel, it says the king became furious. He became enraged. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you want to make somebody mad, this has nothing to do with the sermon that I'm preaching this morning. It is a lesson, though, that you need to get in your heart. You want to make somebody mad, refuse to worship at their idol. Hello? It doesn't matter what their idol is. You refuse to worship at their idol, and you will make somebody mad, my friend. And listen to me. Dare I say it? It happens in the church, too. Yes, it does. And the king was furious. He became enraged. So he called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to him. And he said to them, he said, all right, now listen. I know that you are probably confused and you don't understand what is going on. And so I believe it's in verse 15, Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. He says, so if you are ready, I will play the music again. Uh-huh. Right? I'll play the music again. And if you are ready, when we play the music again, I'll give you a second chance. In other words, I know you didn't mean to not worship. I know you didn't mean to not bow. I know you didn't mean to bring a scourge on my name. I know you didn't mean to not obey. I know you didn't mean to not bow down to the ground and worship my image. I know you didn't mean to. So I'm going to tell the instrument to play the music again. And the king turns and he says, Maestro, music, please. And as he did, Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, I'm not sure which one. I don't know which one was the spokesman, but one of them said, the king is now saying, Maestro, music, please. And one of them says, whoa, king, hold on, king. There's no need to play the music again, right? There's no need to play the music again. And even that, you didn't interrupt the king. You did not interrupt the king when he was about to orchestrate, when he was about to be in court. You didn't interrupt the king. King, there's no need for you to play the music again. Others, what they actually said was this, says, concerning this question, O king, there's no need for you to play the music again. There's no need, O king. In fact, verse 17, if that is the case, O king, I'm sorry, verse 16. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. In other words, what he was saying was, listen, we don't need a second chance. We don't need a second chance to bow. We don't need a second chance to submit. In other words, if the question is whether or not we're going to bow the second time, the answer is the same that it was the first time. Hello? The answer is the same. And then they say something, they actually make three statements, and these are what I want to show to you this morning. Because I think sometimes we don't realize the significance of these three statements. I've shared some of this. Some of you have been going through some tough times, and there's two or three of you that I've shared this with you personally, and it has spoken into your life. And so some of this, a few of you might hear some of this again. But he begins to make three, there are three key things that here that Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, which that's their Hebrew names, three things here that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said that are absolutely crucial and important, and I want us to see them. I'll just walk through them just for a few moments this morning. The first thing they said was this, verse 17, if you're there. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. Now stop there. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. Now, you know what that is? That is a statement of faith. That is a statement of faith. Now about it, faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. When they said, our God is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, that was a statement of faith by them. You understand what they were saying? What they were saying was, our God can deliver us from this fiery furnace. Our God, what he was saying was, our God can put out this fire. Our God can change this circumstance. Our God can annihilate the threat. In other words, they were saying, we have faith in our God. Our, oh King, you might load us up and push us right to the door, but our God is able to send a rain from heaven and extinguish that fire. Our God is able, oh King, to change this circumstance. Our God is able. That was a statement of faith. That's what faith does. Faith sees something that faith sees it like it is, but then faith sees it as it can be. Oh King, our God can deliver us. That is something, by the way, that I don't understand about some people who walk in faith, who I call it hyper faith. I used to call it super faith, and then I realized there's not anything super about it. It's just hyper faith. What I mean by that is you know you've seen the people who almost have this faith that denies. Anybody understand what I'm not? This faith that denies. In other words, I'm not sick, right? You know what I'm talking about. I'm not sick. I'm not sick. You understand what I'm saying? It's this hyper faith. Listen, faith doesn't deny what is. Faith just sees what is and how it can be. Faith says, God can change this circumstance. God can change this situation. God can move on the scene, O King. God can speak to the corporation's mind and cause them to not lay me off. God can take my name off of the layoff list. God can speak to the cancer and cause it to dry up right there. God can change the heart of a spouse and cause them to fall in love again. God can break through an unhealthy the relationship of a teenager. God can take the addict and make them new again. God can take the alcoholic and give them the fullness of the Holy Spirit. God can, God can, God can. Faith says God can. Amen? Faith says God can. In fact, Luke 1:37 says this, faith, for with God, nothing is impossible. What faith says, oh my goodness, it is not impossible for God to heal. God can. It is not impossible for God to restore. God can. It is not impossible for God to deliver. God can. It is not impossible for God to come through. God can. In fact, these three Hebrew children, they could look back through history. They could look back through history and they could see time and time and time again. They knew God can. They, from where they were, they could look back and they could see the children of Israel at the Red Sea, with mountains on one side, desert on the other side, an army pressing in behind them, and in front of them the Red Sea. They can look back and, oh yes, God can. If God can split the Red Sea and allow somewhere between 1 and 3 million people to walk across on dry ground and then cause that same sea to come in and to destroy the enemy, then what is this that I face? Oh King, if God can control the sea, God can control the fire. Amen? God can. God can. From where they sit, they look back. Say, oh my goodness, God can. God can take a little 12-year-old boy who's a shepherd. A 12-year-old little boy who's a shepherd. I can look back and he can take that 12-year-old little boy with a sling and 3 and 5 stones, and he can walk him out there on the battlefield before Goliath, who was somewhere around 9.5 feet tall and weighed somewhere around 400 pounds. And he can take that 12-year-old little boy, and with one sling of the stone, he can place that stone exactly in the place where it knocks that giant out. And then he can move on that little boy to take that sword and lift it and cut Goliath's head off. Oh my King, if God can do that with a 12-year-old boy, my God can. There's some of you in your life, you can look back and you know God can. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. You can look back in your life and you know God can. Oh, I've seen God move in the impossible, and I know He can move. I've seen God heal, and I know He can heal. I've seen God deliver, and I know He can deliver. There's some of you can look back, the most impossible situations where nobody thought it would work out. Nobody thought it would come through. Nobody had any idea that it would resolve itself that way. Oh, but with men, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Faith says God can. God can. These three young boys then, or young men then, made a second statement. Notice at verse 17, notice the second statement. And I want you to pay close attention to this. It's crucial to our understanding of what is going on here. They did not say, God will deliver us from the fiery furnace. What they said was far more significant than that. Look at it at verse 17. Remember now, they just said, our God who is able, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Watch this. And the second statement is this. And he will deliver us from your hand, O King. Now, I want you to see this now. We read past that. Sometimes we read the scripture so fast that we miss it. Haven't you read the story before? Haven't you thought that they said, God can deliver us from the fiery furnace and God will deliver us from the fiery furnace? I mean, when you think of the story, isn't that what you think? That's not what they said. They said, God can deliver us from the fiery furnace and he will deliver us from your hand. Oh my good. Whoa, now wait a minute. That's two different things. That's two different things entirely. They said, God can cause the fire to go out. God can close up this furnace. God can change your mind. God can move on the scene. God can cause an invading army to come in and deliver us. God can send his angels and deliver us from the fire furnace. God can. And God will deliver us from your hand. God will deliver us from the intentions of your heart. In other words, what they were saying is, God can deliver me from the fire, deliver us from the fiery furnace. He can send miraculously and undo it. And whether he does or not, what? Whether he does or not, God will deliver me from your hand. God will deliver me from your intentions. God will deliver us from what you have decided in your heart. God will deliver me from what you have purposed. God will. God will. See, the intention, what they were saying was, oh, King, you need to know this. God can deliver us from the fire, but whether he does or not, he will deliver us from the evil that you have intended upon us. He said, they were saying, the intention of your heart, oh, King, will not be realized. King, you will not win. You will not overcome. You will not. Why? Because God will thwart the desire of your heart to destroy us. Oh, my goodness. See, faith says God can, hope says God will. Now about it, faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Watch this now. Faith says God can, hope says, and God will. You understand what I'm saying? I have faith that God's going to change the circumstance, change the sickness, change the situation, that God's going to change it. And my faith is that God can, because Luke 1:37 says, with God all things are possible. And my hope says, whether he does or not like I think it ought to be, this I know, he will come through. He will show up. He will be on the scene. He will deliver. He will stop this attack. He will come through. God will. Faith says God can. Hope says God will. God will deliver us from your scheme. God will deliver us from your plan. God will deliver us from your evil. God will deliver us from the intent of your heart. God will not allow this to come to pass. You know what they were saying? They were saying more than God could deliver us from the furnace. They were saying God will deliver us from your scheme. They were saying more than God could deliver us from the furnace. God can deliver us from your scheme. In other words, watch this. They were saying God can deliver us from the furnace, but whether he does or not, understand this, O King, you are not in control. You are not in charge. God will deliver us from your hand. The king had the ability, and he does, right? In fact, he does, doesn't he? You understand, the king had the ability that when they went into the fiery furnace, and I'm jumping ahead here just a moment to make a point, the king had the ability that when they went into the fiery furnace and they were not burned, he had the ability to bring them out and throw them in the lion's den, right? He had the ability to bring them out of the lion's den and stand them before the archers and to pierce their hearts through with an arrow. He had the ability to take them and lay their head on the chopping block and take a sword and cut off their heads. What they knew, they didn't know what the king was going to do next, but this they knew. God can deliver from the fiery furnace, and God will deliver us from your hand and from your intentions. See, what they knew was what Proverbs teaches. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose shall prevail. Amen? That's what hope knows. Hope knows that, faith knows God can, and hope knows God will. Hope knows God will come through. Hope knows God will remember you. Hope knows that God will come on the scene. Hope knows that God will work it out. Hope knows that God will make all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Hope knows that. And hope declares that. In fact, Paul said the same thing in 2 Corinthians. He said the same thing. He said this: we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be made manifest in my body. Faith says God can. Hope says God will. God will. Now I want you to see this. I don't want you to miss this. There is a sense in which faith, that is that the fire will be put out, is actually fulfilled in hope. That is that the burn will be thwarted. So watch this now. There's a sense in which faith is fulfilled in hope. That they had faith that God could put out the fire. They had hope that he would move and not allow it to destroy them. So there's a sense in which, right, faith is actually fulfilled in hope. In other words, whether the fire was put out or whether they were put in the fire and not burned, either way, it works out the same for them. God can come through and God will come through. Faith is swallowed up in hope. It is fulfilled in hope. In other words, here's what I want you to see. Sometimes we read 1 Corinthians 13, now about it, faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. I think a lot of times we see these as three separate things. They are actually three workings of the Holy Spirit, all of which compound one on another, and they are all working in our life, continually working in our life to bring about what God wants to accomplish and what God wants to do. So that, when I say God can... When God say God can move on the heart of the corporation that they not lay me off, but they lay me off anyway, and hope says, but even if they do, God's going to take care, and God comes through and provides another job or a better job or another. You understand that faith is actually fulfilled in hope. My faith was God can move on and change that situation. And hope said, even if he does it, you can rest in this. God's going to be on the scene. God's going to be in charge. God's going to move in your behalf. God's going to take care of you. I was young and now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. Right? So faith is fulfilled in hope. What God can do, God will do. May not look exactly like we think. May not work out exactly like we might think. But God, what God can do, God will do. So faith says God can, and hope says God will. The reason that's important is because I think sometimes people read Daniel chapter 3 and they think faith failed. Right? when the children said God can deliver us from the fiery furnace and then didn't, isn't there something in you that says, well, now, wait a minute, that statement failed. That statement didn't fail. That statement was delayed to be fulfilled in hope. Faith was fulfilled in hope. Now, watch this. The third statement that I want to share with you this morning. And then I'll only preach for another hour and a half. And we'll be good to go this morning. Watch this. See, it doesn't stop there. I want to show you this third thing. In this third statement, if you're there, verse 18, watch this now. But if not, now understand what they've said. They said, God can deliver us from the fiery furnace. God will deliver us from your hand. And then they follow it up. They say, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Watch this now. While God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace is a statement of faith, and he will deliver us from your hand is a statement of hope, the statement that let it be known, but if not, O king, let it be known to you, we will not worship your gods or worship your golden image, is a statement of love. See, faith says God can, hope says God will, and love says no matter what, I trust God. No matter what, I will not worship you or worship your gods or worship your image. See, faith says God can, hope says God will, and love says I will trust him regardless of the route that he chooses. Now about it, faith, hope, and love, these three. You understand, I referred just a moment ago to 2 Corinthians 4 when it says, hard pressed from every side but not crushed, and perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. I referred to that in a moment. Listen to the rest of that passage. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all these things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart. There it is. Faith says God can, hope says God will, love says I will not lose heart. I will not give up. I will not slack up. I will not stop. I will not keep from back and forth. In fact, it says this, in fact, though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know what that is? That's love. That's faith, hope, and love all working together. Then he says this, he says, for this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is not worthy to be compared with the glory, that is the exceeding eternal weight of glory that is to come. Says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Do you see it? Faith, as faith is fulfilled in hope, faith and hope are both fulfilled in love. Because God did all three of those. He didn't choose one of those. He allowed all three of those to be working inside of him. In other words, there is a sense in which both faith, that is that the fire would go out, and hope, that is that the burn would be thwarted, are actually fulfilled in love. Even if the fire is not extinguished, and even if the burn is not diminished, they both deliver me unto him. How do you know this, Pastor? Read the rest of the story. What does the rest of the story say? They were taken and they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and what? And what? Nebuchadnezzar instantly, I love the way the story reads, instantly Nebuchadnezzar looks and he sees and he says, did we not throw three men in? Now old Neb is rubbing his eyes. Now he's taking splashing some water in his face. Now he's taking and wiping his forehead and he said, whoa, wait a minute, something strange is going on here. And he calls his wise men together and said, did we not throw three men in the fire? I mean, this man, it was messing him up. He thought he forgot how to count to four or three. They said, yes, O king, we threw three. And he says, then why do I see four men walking in the fire and the fourth one is like unto the Son of God? What was he saying? Faith said God can. Hope said God will. Love says, but if not, I will not serve you, O king. And the fulfillment of all of that delivered them right beside Jesus Christ himself. That's what faith, hope, and love do. Faith, hope, and love bring you right to the side of Christ. They bring you right into his presence. That's what Paul said. Philippians. Remember what he said? He was writing to the Philippian church. He was in jail. He didn't know if he had another day. But he says this. He says, I know this will turn out for my deliverance. Through prayer and the supply of the Lord Jesus Christ, my earnest expectation and my hope, for in nothing I will be ashamed. For with all boldness, as always, now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What is that? That's a statement of love. That's a statement that says God can. And God will, but if not, I will not bow before you, O King. So what does all of this have to do with us? What does this have to do with us today? Tune in here with you, women, for about just 5 more minutes. Listen, what does this have to do with us today? What this has to do with us today is this. Faith says, watch this now, listen to me. If you miss this, you miss the whole message. Faith says God can handle the fire. That's what faith says. God can handle the fire. God can handle the circumstance. God can handle the situation. God can handle the battle. God can handle the persecution. God can handle the pressing. God can handle the dilemma. God can handle the unexpected. Faith says God can handle the fire. Hope says God can handle the burn. That's what hope says. Faith says God can handle the fire. Hope says God can handle the burn. Oh, King, I know it's hot. I know it's 7 times hotter. I can kind of feel the heat from here. In fact, I got a sense. Is there anybody here this morning? You're walking in a place and you're not there yet, but you can kind of feel the heat from it. You know what I'm talking about? I can kind of feel the heat from here. But hope says God can handle the burn. God can handle the threat of the burn. God can handle the fire and God can handle the burn. Faith says God can handle the fire. Hope says God can handle the burn. Watch this now. But love says God can handle me. God can handle me. Faith says God can take care of the fire. Hope says God will take care of the burn. Love says God will take care of me. No matter what? Amen? That's what it has to do with us today. Because here's what I know in your life, in my life. Sometimes I'm going to be in a place. Sometimes I'm going to be in a place and faith is going to rise up. And I'm going to be able to look. God can change this. God can move in this. God can thwart this threat. God can change this plot. God can change this scheme. God can put the fire out. God can, and God will. Aren't you thankful that we don't always have to go through the fire, right? Aren't you thankful that God does sometimes come and spread the sea wide open? He does sometimes come miraculously and deliver. And so I know in your life there's going to be a place of faith. I also know in your life and in my life there has to also be some places of hope. Because sometimes, and I do not know why. Listen, I have stopped trying to explain God. I've stopped trying to explain God. I just know this. I cannot explain to you why God didn't put out the fire. And I've stopped trying to explain that. But I know this. I know that there has to be something that in the midst of the fire says God will come through. God will not forget me. God will remember me. One day, either near or far, God is going to remember. God is going to move. God is going to deliver me out of the scheme of the enemy. Amen? And I also know that in life, in life. While there are sometimes we walk in faith and there's sometimes we walk in hope, there are also sometimes in life where we have to walk in love, where we just have to say, but if not, I'm not bowing to the world. I'm not backing up. You hear me? I'm not backing up. I'm not going to serve the world's God just to get what I think I ought to have. I'm not going to serve the world's God just to get that promotion or just to get that money or just to get, here we go, listen to me, teenagers, or just to get that boyfriend or that girlfriend. I'm not going to serve the world. I'm not going to bow down and serve the world just to get that guy or that girl or that relationship or that spot or that promotion. But I believe God can change it, and I believe He will. But if not, I will not bow before the world or worship the image of the world's king. Because I know God can take care of me. I know God can come on the scene. I know God will move on my behalf one day. I know He will. See, now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, and the greatest of these is love. Why does the writer Paul say that? The word abide there is the word minyo. And it actually means to stay. Now, faith stays. Now, hope stays. Now, love stays. Why does it say that love is the greatest of them all? Because in love, both faith and hope are all fulfilled, and the greatest of these is love. I don't know what that says to your life and my life, but that helps me when I'm facing the fiery furnace. Because listen to me. Just because you make that statement, oh my goodness, I don't have time to go into this morning, but I gotta. We're having lunch here. I'll just stay here for just a moment, right? Watch this. Just because they said God can deliver us from the furnace and God will deliver us from your hand, but if not, we aren't going to bow before you, O King. You know what I mean? You know what we want? You know how we want the story to be? You know what we want the story to say? We want the story to say, Nebuchadnezzar says, oh, okay. Well, if you're not gonna bow, then oh, don't worry about it. You just take a holiday. Everybody else can bow, but you don't have to bow. That's what we want the story to say. Or we want the story to say that just about the time they got to the door of the furnace, right? That just about the time that they got to the door of the furnace, we want the story to say that the fire went out. Wow, just miraculously, a fire 7 times hotter, just as cool as ice. But that's not what the story says. What the story says is the king became enraged with fury. And his face, his countenance changed before them. In other words, prior to that statement, they had a little bit of favor with the king. The king was willing to give them a second chance, another opportunity. But when they made that statement, all second chances were gone. All opportunities were gone. In other words, the king said, watch this now. When they said what they said, the king said, how do I put this? Sometimes you're not going to like the enemy's response, right? When you say faith can, and when faith says it, God can, and hope says God will, and love says but if not, sometimes you're not going to like the enemy's response. In fact, you know what the enemy did? You know what Nebuchadnezzar did? He said, okay, I'll show you, right? Isn't that what he said? He said, I'll show you. Hey, guys, go heat the furnace 7 times hotter. You know what he's trying to do? You know what Nebuchadnezzar is trying to do? If he was just interested in destroying them, in burning them up, if he was just interested in that, he would have sent them off with the executioners and then told the executioners, listen, when you get down there, heat the oven 7 times hotter. But that's not what he did. You know what he did? With Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing there before him, he turned to the executioners and he said, heat the furnace 7 times more. You know what he's doing? He was trying to get them to back up. He was trying to get them to change their mind. He was testing. Okay, you're going to stand in faith and hope and love. Let's just see what kind of faith you have. We'll see what kind of hope you have. We'll see what kind of love you have. And you know what? Sometimes the enemy does just that, doesn't he? Sometimes the enemy, he turns the heat up. He turns the heat up there just to see if your faith will stand and your hope will stand and your love will stand. And as they were there, it's almost as though you can see Nebuchadnezzar looking at the executioner saying, heat it up 7 times hotter, and then looking at them and saying, now let's see what you're going to do. Now let's see what you got. Now let's see what you're made of. And so the enemy will do in your life and my life sometimes. In fact, he didn't just stop there. Read the story carefully. It says, and I'm amazed at this. It says, he sent for his strongest men of valor. He sent his best against them. Whoa, now, I'm telling you, sometimes you're not going to like the enemy's response. Sometimes you're not going to like the way he responds. He says he sent his best men, his men of valor. And sometimes the enemy, listen, when he is testing you, you got to get this in your spirit sometime. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people whose faith is shipwrecked because you don't see, you've been hearing some prosperity preaching. You've been hearing, oh man, when I'm saved, everything's going to be fine and no finances, no marriage problems, no kids problems, no teenager problems. There's nothing. Listen, and work, everything's going to be fine. Money to glory. We've been hearing this garbage. We've been hearing this garbage, this prosperity message that is not so. Sometimes when you come to the Lord and you give him your all, the response of the enemy is, I'll test it and I'll see just how much faith and love and hope and love that you have. And sometimes he'll send his best against you. And if you aren't prepared for that, I'm telling you, listen to me, if you aren't prepared for that, it will knock you out. It'll take you out. Lord, I'm serving you and the bank account is dry. Or I'm serving you and my marriage is dry. I'm serving you, Lord, and the job is dry. I'm serving you and I'm dry. What's up with that? I'll tell you what's up with that is the enemy loves to send his best against you. He's out to destroy your faith. He's out to destroy your hope. He's out to destroy your love. Listen, you need to stop being friends with the devil and understand he's the enemy of your soul. I didn't have any intentions of going here. But I'm telling you, I'm glad we're having lunch here today. Listen to me. Some of you are being friends with the devil. Some of you are being friends with the enemy. You want to bow before Nebuchadnezzar's image and bow before God's image, and you can't bow to both images, my friend. You either belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or you do not. Faith, hope, and love will not, is not a magic formula. It's the way you live your life. You want to play nursemaid to the devil, then you'll raise something in your life that you can't handle. Hello. You want to play around with the devil and be friends with the devil, you'll raise up something in your life that will clean your clock, my friend. It'll take you out. You've got to make a stand once and for all. Listen, one day you're going to have to make a stand. One day you're going to have to say, this is it. One day you're going to have to say, I've had it. I've had it with bowing before the devil. I've had it with bowing before the world. I've had it with pride and greed in my life. I've had it with sexual immorality. I've had it with sin in my life. It's over. I'm going to stand before the King of Kings and worship him. Everybody has to decide one day, once and forever. And everybody will, right? Everybody will. You can either make a stand on this side or you can make a stand on the other side or the other. Amen. Pastor, what are you talking about? The Word says we have the option. We have the option right now to stand before Him, or rather to bow before Him and make Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Or you have the option not to. But one day, my Bible tells me, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day you will make a stand. One day you will make a decision. Don't let it be too late. Don't let it be too late. I love what God does. I love what God does here. I love how God responds. You know how God responds? When we stand in faith, hope, and love, you know how God responds? God responds by being right in the middle of the hardship. Doesn't he? He responds, Laura, by being right in the middle of the fire with us. In fact, think about this a moment. Had they not gone in the fire, they would have never seen that he was there. They'd have never known he was there. David, he didn't just show up when they got in the fire. He was there. He was in the fire. He was saying, listen, guys, don't come on in. The water's fine. Come on in. The fire's fine. I got it under control. I got it under in charge. I love the way he responds. He was right there in the middle of the hardship with them. He was right there in the middle of the fire with them. I love how he responds. He delivers them through the fire. Through the fire. Such that we are told that when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't even smell like smoke. Now, Pastor, what did God do there? Did he change the fire? Was it not hot? Well, it burnt off the ropes. It burnt off the ropes. It was real fire. Oh, yeah, it was real fire. It burned up the mighty men that went to throw them. Oh, it was real fire. It's not that the fire wasn't real. Listen to me, my friend. Oh, listen, faith doesn't mean walking through life and not having fire. Faith means walking through the fire and not smelling like smoke when you come out on the other side because you've been walking with the King. There it is, isn't it? I've never even thought of that before till just now. You can either bow before the King, a lowercase K-I-N-G, or you can walk with the King. K-I-N-G. One or the other. One or the other. I love how God responds. I love how God responds. Nebuchadnezzar looks and he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what kind of God is this that you serve? That's what he said. I mean, I know that's a paraphrase. That's modern language. That's what he said. What kind of God is this that you serve? I've never seen a God like this before. In that culture, the Babylonian culture, they had all kind of gods. I mean, they had gods to everything. But they said, what kind of God is this that you serve? That not only delivers you from the fire, but delivers you from my hand. And then they say, then he says, let it be known through the kingdom. Let it be known through the kingdom that if anybody worships any other god than the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be thrown into the same fiery furnace. If you worship any other god, in other words, when God comes through in your life, when faith proves itself and hope proves itself and love proves itself, then God gets the glory. And the world has to look and to say, what kind of God is this that you serve? What kind of God is this that you serve? Why should I worship any other God? Why should I worship any other king? Your King is the King, the Almighty. And one last thing, we skip over it. My goodness, I feel like the last part of this text here, I've just skipped over, but I can't leave you without this. We miss this when we read the story. Look at it. Verse 30. Then the king. What? What's your Bible say? Promoted. Somebody say promoted. Promoted. Raised up. Increased. Encouraged. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen to me. Sometimes you can't go up unless you go down. The way up is down sometimes. The way out is through. Right? And God promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now listen, it's just me. I know none of you think this way. None of you think this way. I know. It's just me. But I wonder where the three guys were that were the tattletales in the first place. I'm sorry. It's just me. Does that not just mess with you? When I think about the whole Bible, I want to know where the tattletales were. You know what? I hope they were in the room. Is that all right? I hope they were in the room. I hope they were standing there. I hope they heard the decree of the king. I hope they heard him say, "What kind of God is this? Nobody's going to serve any other God but this God." I hope they heard the king say, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not only have you not been burned up, but you're going to go up because I'm going to promote you to a greater position. Not because of you, but because of the God you serve. Because of the God you serve." This morning I want to tell you, I want to speak into your heart. I want you to understand, I want you to get it this morning. Faith says, "I'll trust God with the struggle." Hope says, "I'll trust God with the consequences." Love says, "I'll trust God with me." With me. My family, my life, I'll trust God with me. Everything I've said to you this morning, there it is in one sentence. If you're taking notes, write it down. Faith says, "I trust God with the struggle." Some of you got some struggles you need to trust God with this morning. Hope says, "I'll trust God with the consequences." Some of you have some consequences that you need to trust God with this morning. And love says, "I will trust God with me." Some of you got to move to that next place where it says, "Lord, but if not, I will serve you and not the world's, the gods of this world." I want you to bow your heads. Holy Spirit, this is the moment. This is the moment that you have been preparing all week long for this moment, right here, right now. We dare not rush past it just because we've got a grand day planned. Holy Spirit, I pray that you right now begin to work. Begin to work. Would you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed? I don't want anybody looking around but me. I did not intend to bring this message to this spot, but the Holy Spirit did. Some of you here this morning, that you simply do not trust God with you. You don't trust Him with your life. You're going to hold on to it. You're going to remain in charge. You're going to remain in control. The longer you hang on to it, the bigger mess that it is. And the bigger mess that it is, the more you want to blame God. I'm going to tell you like it is this morning. It's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. I'm not saying that it's your fault. I am saying you're the only one who can do anything about it. By giving your life, surrendering your life totally and completely to the King, the real King. If that's you this morning and you are here, and you want, in just a minute, you want me to pray with you, a prayer where you are dedicating and giving your life totally and completely to the Lord, will you raise your hand? Just slip your hand up so I can see it, so that I know. There's one hand, thank you. Is there another hand? There's two hands, thank you. Is there somebody else? Is there somebody else? Thank you. You can put your hand back down once you raise it. Anybody else? There's a hand. Thank you. Somebody that you're sitting here this morning, you say, "I just can't keep living like this. I can't keep doing this. I can't. Listen, my life has gotten out of control. It's gotten a mess." Somebody want to join those three and say, "Pastor, that's what I'm feeling in my heart. That's what I'm feeling inside of me right now. That's what I'm feeling inside of me right now." Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Now here's what I'm going to ask you to do. always do it this way, but this morning I feel like it's the way that the Lord is leading me. If you raised your hand, can I tell you this morning, God loves you so much. He loves you so deeply. He cares about you so deeply. He does not want to hurt or embarrass you or shame you in any way. He just simply wants to open his arms and let you come in. Let you come in. And I feel like this morning, in order to do that, the best way you can say, Lord, I want to walk into your arms is for you to just get up and walk down here to the front and let me or one of our, or Geraldine or one of our intercessors pray with you. Now listen, as soon as I said that, it is easy to say, I'm not going down front. I'm not coming up. I'm not getting down front. But I'm telling you this morning, there's some of you that are, there's some things that you need to walk away from. I'm not talking about sin. I'm not saying sin per se is in your life, ugly, deep, dark things. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there's some things in your life that you have remained in control of, and you just need to walk away from it and say, God, I'm giving it to you. And one way that you can witness that you're doing that is to get up out of your seat and walk down to the front. And I sense this morning that there's more than that, than the ones that raised their hand. Would you just come down? Come on. Yes, there they come. Come on. Get up and come down. Yes. And there's some others too. I need some intercessors to come help me right now. I don't want these people standing here by themselves. Geraldine, come and help me right now. I need some intercessors to come help me. Ernest, I need you to help me. Joanne, I need you to help me. Come on. We need some people. Yes. Thank you. Yes. 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 Right now. Right now. Yes. Joy, would you come help us, please, this morning if you can? Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. I don't want anybody at this altar by themselves. If you will come and you just walk up behind the people that are here, put your hand on them. Put your hand behind them. Listen, you don't have to just, that just lets them know that somebody is there and that somebody cares. Ron, will you help me, please, sir? Just come up behind and put your hand on them. I have a sense that there are some more that are here. Jim, will you help us? Yes, come on. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. I just have some sense there's some more that are here this morning. These four or five have come, or six or so have come. There's some more that is here this morning. And maybe what I described was not exactly you, but you know you need to be down around this altar. You know there's something that God's dealing with you about, something that I've preached about this morning, and you need God, give God a chance to move in your life and to minister in your life. Would you just get up as well and come down? Just get up as well as come down and slip down, won't you? Won't you come down? You're welcome to come down. We're going to take just a moment. Please don't get in a hurry. Please don't get in a hurry. We're going to take just a moment and minister to these that are around the altar. Hallelujah. Everyone stand, if you will, this morning. Hallelujah. If you are around this altar, listen to me. You do not have to walk alone. You need you a mentor. You need you a spiritual mentor in your life. You do not have to face it alone. And if you are having trouble with that, you come and see me. I'll find someone to place in your life that will be a spiritual mentor to you. I don't know why I feel that so strongly, but you do not have to walk alone. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the privilege we've had to worship you today and come together in a worship service. I thank you, Lord, by the power of the Spirit for what you are doing in the lives of every person that is here. Amen. Now, before you move, before I pronounce the priestly blessing, did you have something you want to say? Nope. Nope. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Let's enjoy the day of the Lord. God bless you. I love you.